WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. More than 3 weeks into the government shutdown, Republican senators head to the White House today for a group lunch with President Trump. Their meeting coming as the effects of the shutdown continue being felt.
Officials are warning time is running out for critical programs. SNAP, often called food assistance, which serves more than 40 million Americans, is set to dry up in most states by the end of this month.
ABC's Jay O'Brien, another deadline, November 1st. Open enrollment for those on Obamacare begins without government subsidies to help pay the premiums. Democrats are insisting on that for a reopening of the government. An appeals court has overturned a temporary restraining order, meaning the Trump administration can send National Guard troops to Portland. However, a second ruling prohibits that from happening. Vice President J.D. Vance has arrived in Israel trying to shore up the fragile Gaza ceasefire. Japan's parliament has elected the country's first woman prime minister, ultra-conservative Senai Takaichi. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles is sharing tips with residents to highlight National Teen Driver Safety Week. According to a press release, traffic crashes are the leading cause of death for teens in the United States. Wisconsin saw nearly 19,000 crashes involving teen drivers last year, leading to 70 fatalities and nearly 6,000 injuries. DOT officials are reminding parents that proper training and practice for young drivers is crucial for safety, and the DMV's online teen portal offers various resources for driver safety programs. Another Republican candidate has entered the field for lieutenant governor in 2026. On Monday, small business owner Will Martin officially announced his candidacy for the race, joining former mayor of Lancaster David Varnum in the Republican primary field. Martin ran for the position in 2022 but fell short in the primary. He also previously worked under former Republican governors Scott Walker and Tommy Thompson. On the Democratic side, only Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski has announced her campaign for lieutenant governor. The Ashland Police Department has announced a suspect was arrested on Saturday after allegedly making terrorist threats and bomb scares. According to law enforcement authorities, the suspect called a Superior Choice Credit Union location just before noon on Saturday, claiming that he had placed a possible explosive device in his own safety deposit box. Authorities brought in the Marathon County Bomb Squad to examine the building, which determined that there was no explosive device. The suspect was booked into the Ashland County Jail soon after. Duluth Mayor Roger Reinert is proposing a moratorium on licensing for short-term rental properties amid rising housing costs. Like many other municipalities across the region, Duluth is struggling with a shortage of available housing, contributing to higher housing prices as well as workforce shortages. Mayor Reinert says they've seen a significant increase in the number of single-family homes being converted into short-term rental properties, further constraining the city's housing stock issues. The license moratorium on those units would last for 1 year. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers prepare for Pittsburgh. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Packers play the Steelers this week on Sunday night. Matt LaFleur asked about running back Josh Jacobs demanding to get back in the game against the Cardinals Sunday despite a strained calf muscle.
Yeah, he's a grown man. There's no doubt about it. What he says is always backed up by his actions, and I think that's number one on top of the list of what you need to be in order to be a great leader.
Baseball, the Blue Jays beat the Mariners 4-3 to advance to the World Series. Game one will be Friday night in Toronto against the Dodgers. Doc Rivers was asked if he still goes golfing with his friend, Dodgers manager Dave Roberts.
We plan on golf a lot. We never actually get to do it much. But the Brewers, they had an amazing year. And if you're going to lose, you lose to the most historic game in Major League history, and that's how they lost.
That's the Bucks, Doc Rivers, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home to the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Coats and umbrellas needed today, blustery and much colder, with scattered showers developing in the afternoon, highs only in the mid-40s. Those scattered showers continue this evening, still breezy, low temperatures in the mid-30s. Currently, it's 39.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
He is the executive director of Back 40 Action. Will Westmoreland is here. So, Will, we can't sell our soybeans. There's no market for that. But Brooke Rollins, Secretary of Agriculture, says it's all great. What are you hearing from fellow farmers?
Well, Jane, we are the world's leader in one department of agriculture now that Donald Trump is president and Brooke Rollins is Secretary of Agriculture, and that's word salad.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and podcast host Jimmy Pardo, then Mission 1 Billion co-founders Rex Sykes and Rocky Wagenhurst join the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 8:06 now. Nice to have you back here up north on a Tuesday morning. It is October 21st. Coming up, Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom joining us from the nation's capital. Then at 8:35, we will be talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. About an hour ago, you heard my conversation with State Representative Francesca Hong, candidate for governor. What's that? You didn't hear it? You weren't around an hour ago? Well, we can help you with that. You can get this show as a podcast. Head over to Spotify or Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News, and listen to us anytime and catch a guest that you might have missed. And maybe you can't hang around till 8:35, but you want to hear Dan Schaefer. Well, start to follow us and you'll get them that way. So again, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us that way. A little later, we'll tell you some of the more popular stories of the past week at Up North News' social media feeds. Spoiler alert, a lot of you are interested in following the No Kings protests all across Wisconsin back on Saturday. That led to some developments in Washington, D.C. as well. So let's scamper right over there right now and talk to Cam Stevenson, Courier Newsroom's political correspondent there, our national correspondent, who His mint green walls have now been, there's an accessory. There's a very red and white Free DC flag. Cam, good morning. Congrats on the redecorating.
Thank you. Thank you. I've been officially welcomed and hazed into the DC community.
the free DC movement. I mean, this dates back to, the license plates say taxation without representation.
Yeah.
But, exactly. Now you add, troops to the mix, and you can see why flags like that are probably getting some new mileage.
Yeah, no, most definitely. The idea of Free DC, DC statehood, and especially DC independence from the ability for the federal government to send troops here to actively patrol, that idea is stronger than ever right now. That was a big theme at the No Kings protest in Washington, D.C. over the weekend, as the Free D.C. movement was out in full force. These flags are all over the place, and people want independence, not just from a would-be king, but independence to be their own, government body here.
And I thought it was great that in your newsletter, Below the Beltway, which you can get at beltway.news or through couriernewsroom.com, there is something that these three places have in common. Washington, D.C., Nepal, and Madagascar. Tell folks what you put in the newsletter about what they all shared.
Yeah, well, this it really sparks from a small alert I got from the White House press update team on Friday afternoon, which was that Donald Trump was leaving Washington, D.C. right before the protest started. And this, this falls right in line with some protests we've seen in other countries this year in Nepal and Madagascar, where the authoritarian leaders or unpopular leaders there were confronted with protesters and opposition, and instead of facing it and, you know, addressing the public which elected them, they fled. And that's exactly what Donald Trump did this weekend. Is he fled our nation's capital as 200,000 people came here to protest his presidency. And it wasn't until he was in his safe space in Palm Beach, Florida, in his private resort with his Secret Service and private security, that he began making fun of American citizens who were exercising their First Amendment right to protest.
Oh, I mean, as we discussed earlier, I mean, and you note in your newsletter, defecating on them symbolically through, you know, an AI video from a fighter jet, which has Kenny Loggins very bothered here. But it was obsessively posting true to his tiny network. We noted that Congressman Derek Van Orden posted more than 250 times. Jeez. And by one national reporter's count, that is like the new record for like a 24 or 48 hour period, topping. Let's see, it wasn't Marjorie Taylor Greene. It was Nancy Mace had the previous record for the most time. It is an obsession that they have with posting social media, which really says something, Cam, about how having 7 million people take to the streets has a way to maybe get under their skin.
Yeah. Well, my first thought is like, geez, man, get a life. I mean, if I'm spending my weekend just posting online hundreds of times, maybe that's a good sign to go touch some grass, go feel the warmth of the sun, and be around real people. Because, you know, if there were 7 million people protesting, there were protests all across Wisconsin. Something tells me Representative Van Orden has some of his constituents who he represents who aren't happy with the administration. And so instead of being in his own social media bubble that he's apparently creating all by himself, maybe he should talk with these people and figure out what they want so that he could actually come to Washington, D.C., make compromises with Democrats in Congress and reopen the government. Because that's what he's just posting online instead of actually governing.
Well, basically, yeah, he's basically in a bunker at this point, which leads us to another interesting wrinkle that I learned about for the first time in your newsletter. But it has been mentioned elsewhere. I just missed it. But when you are so fixated on, you know, ruling, no matter what the people think of you, there is a tipping point, and apparently, from what's been studied, there's a tipping point at the figure of 3.5% of the population. What is the significance of that?
Yeah, so a bunch of like revolutionary scientists and you know, academics have studied peaceful revolutions throughout the course of history. And what they found is that if 3.5% of the populace is in active peaceful opposition to their government, that is enough to switch that government, to, you know, to oust the leader, to change the leadership, and to peacefully find a way to democratically change who is running the government and the country. So in the United States, we have about 340 million people. So that would be roughly 12 million people in peaceful opposition. And we've seen an escalation in numbers throughout the months since yeah. Trump retook the presidency, where we were at 3 million people over the, you know, in the spring, 5 million people came out into protest in the summer, and now we have 7 million people coming out just last weekend. And that's a huge number, and that gets us incrementally closer to that 12 million.
Well, and if people wonder, well, would that grow? Let me refer you back to my comments last hour about beef farmers who suddenly learned that the guy they might have voted for wants to purchase a bunch of beef from Argentina. You know, the company or the country rather that has now taken our soybean market. Well, they didn't take it. You know, Trump basically gave it to them through a trade war with China, and now wants to help his friend, the ruler in Argentina, whose nickname, by the way, is El Loco. Buying Argentinian beef. So do not be surprised if there is some kind of future event with more and more farmers talking about how they feel as well. There never seems to be an end of the list of constituencies that Trump is ready to cheese off next.
Right. Well, And that, I think, is one of the reasons why they were so actively trying to portray the protests this last weekend as violent antithesis to America, you know, because they aren't gaining any constituency. You know, Republicans in Congress and the president himself are at the lowest levels of support they've ever seen. Meanwhile, they are selling our beef, selling our soybeans, selling our agriculture and our you know, livelihood away to the highest bidder. Meanwhile, they're also finding ways to change the makeup of the House of Representatives so they can have an unfair advantage in Congress, which universally people don't like. They don't like when they feel like someone's cheating, even if it's someone that they like. And so all of that coupled together creates this recipe for opposition, which we're seeing.
Well, and that's where when you saw them making such a big deal about a ceasefire last week, and I'm not trying to minimize the significance of a ceasefire if it were to hold, but, you know, there's always the need for a little bit of, shall we say, cautious optimism rather than, you know, openly campaigning for a Nobel Peace Prize. But they probably saw that as one of the few ways he could actually add supporters, as if peace were to hold in the Mideast, which it does not seem to be doing now. So now it's just back to, you know, making other constituencies unhappy in a town that is shut down right now. And so it appears that the only people working hard in Washington, D.C. right now are the demolition workers tearing down the east facade of the White House, which got started yesterday despite a president promising that his ballroom project would not damage the exterior of the White House. Not damage it. Let's bring in a whole demolition crew, Cam. That was, right. I mean, the metaphor of the year yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen destruction at the White House like that since 1812. It's something that, I mean, first of all, he promised one thing, another thing happened. I'm shocked. But you know, his administration at least knows that the bad optics of this. The U.S. Treasury overlooks the White House where this demolition is happening. Employees, after photos were already posted, were instructed not to post any more photos of the demolition because it's just like you said, it's very symbolic to see this, a historic building, the symbol of power in the United States, demolished so that a ballroom could be created.
And one that didn't it didn't go through like Congress or anything. It was just, I'm going to do this. I'm going to raise money from my buddies. You know, I won't tell you what kind of things I'm going to do for them in return. There is just nothing that isn't shady about this whole notion.
Yeah. I mean, I can't get a crosswalk put in my neighborhood without a 90-day commentary period, to see if the paint is disruptive to the neighborhood. But he can bring in bulldozers to a taxpayer-funded home and just tear it down. It's beyond absurd.
No, and it is, I mean, again, there's so many images of 2025, but if one of them is the metaphor for it all, it would be what we saw over on the east facade of the White House yesterday. But back to the shutdown and people not getting work done, that means that a newly elected congressional representative from Arizona has still not been sworn in as the game playing goes on by Republican leadership.
Yeah, no, Adelita Grijalva, she's the representative-elect for Southern Arizona. It's been, I want to say, about a month at this point, where she has not only been elected, her election has been certified, not contested at all. She has flown to D.C. and been here waiting to get sworn in, whereas Speaker Mike Johnson has been just moving the goalposts of when he will swear her in. You know, he said, well, there's a shutdown, so we can't do it now. We want to wait until we can have the whole House here to give you a big procession. And I can't remember what his most recent thing is, but he keeps making things up, essentially because her vote would give the House the final vote that it needs to release the Epstein files that the Department of Justice holds, which Mike Johnson has been explicitly told not to let be released. The Trump administration does not want that information out. They want whatever the exact opposite of transparency is into Jeffrey Epstein. And keeping Adelita Grijalva is essentially out of Congress is the way that they keep those files from being in the public eye.
Exactly. Follow all that and more in Cam Stevenson's Below the Beltway newsletter, beltway.news or careerNewsroom.com. Thank you, Cam. Appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime.
All right, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area joins us in 15 minutes. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you, too, can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Matt Nair on air.
Hi, it's Jane Matt Nair.
Hi, it's Greg Bach.
I'm Calvin.
Join us weekdays 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network for Matt Nair on air.
We cover all the news that directly affects us as Wisconsinites.
And we lighten things up in hour number two with a segment called Audio Sorbet, and this shouldn't be a thing. We hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. With me in the studio today is Chris and Robin from the Hayward Chamber Area of Commerce. Good morning, folks. How you doing?
Good morning, Mark. We're doing great.
Yeah, great to be here, Mark, as always.
Good. Good to have you both. Robin, it's your first time in the studio. What do you think?
We'll get there.
So November's here, and we got a big event coming up. Let's talk about the annual dinner, I guess it's called, or what?
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. It's our annual, our Hayward Area Chamber of Commerce annual awards dinner. This is something we really do look forward to every year. It might be, you know, we put on various events throughout the year, and this is, you know, perhaps the favorite of all, just because it's a chance to put the reflection on our members.
Yeah, right.
And celebrate our members in various categories that Robin will talk about here in a minute. So this year we're excited. The Steakhouse and Lodge is going to be the site of our annual dinner. It's November 6th, that Thursday evening. They always do. Peggy and her staff always do such a wonderful job. Oh, yeah. They're hosting it.
Yep, they do.
So we know what we're going to get there, and it's going to be a good time for all. It's a night as well in which we'll have a keynote speaker. This year's keynote speaker is Luke Burrell, who is the CEO of Tamarack Health.
Okay.
Luke's going to speak on the relationship and the impact of Tamarack Health and the health systems here that we are fortunate to have on the community and its impacts there. So we're looking forward to hearing from Luke as well. It's just a good time also just to converse, getting in a same room with 250 other business folks. So it's right. It's a night of networking and socializing. More than anything, it's a night of fun. You know, a night of socializing with others and getting together.
So now, at the time that we're recording this, are there tickets left over, or is it already sold out?
We currently do have tickets available. Folks can RSVP, but we do encourage our folks to RSVP if they're going to be attending as soon as they can, because yes, we do typically sell out and are full. So there will be a cutoff. We're just not quite there yet.
Yep.
So
okay. Yep. So let's talk about some of the awards and the categories and what we're recognizing businesses in the chamber for.
Yeah, so this year we have 39 different businesses and individuals nominated for our different categories, which we have seven categories: large and small business, a new business, outstanding employee, director and manager of the year. We have one of those for for-profit and nonprofit.
Okay.
Volunteer of the year, and then service organization of the year.
And so then, does a ballot go out to the business members then to vote on businesses for these categories, or do they nominate? They know what the categories are, and I'm assuming there's descriptions of what the category defined. How does that work as far as the nominations?
Yep, so we accepted nominations, either self-nominations or other nominations that were submitted. We collected those, and then now it's our membership that votes on those.
Okay, yeah. So let's recap. When's the dinner, and how much are tickets?
The dinner is November 6th. A single ticket is $40.
Okay.
And we've got groups, you know, some businesses may bring a, you know, a, reserve a whole table. A whole table of 8 or 10, depending on the table size. And again, every one of our members is invited to attend. And it's just a great chance, again, to recognize and be there in support of one another.
Right.
So that I think is probably what makes the evening most special of all. We do have a silent auction that night as well. We also have a 50-50 raffle. So there's some chances to also go home with some nice prizes and literally cash as well.
Right.
So those are fun parts of the night also, I want to be sure to mention.
Okay. Well, let's move on down the calendar. We have a holiday raffle coming up. Let's talk a little bit about what that's about.
Yes, so we have the Hayward Holiday Raffle, and we already have tickets on sale. You can purchase those at our Hayward Information Center, at Marketplace Foods, and then they're also available at Cenex, Northern Lake Cenex. Mm-hmm. So those are $10 a ticket. We're giving away 40 prizes, so a total of $6,000 for the month of December. And our grand prize will be drawn on December 23rd for $1,500. The sponsor of that is Superior Choice Credit Union, and presented by the Chamber as well. The drawings will take place at 11 each day in December.
Yeah. And how much is a ticket?
$10.
$10 for the drawing. Yep. Now, if I get my name drawn the first day of the first week, am I done winning, or does my name go back into the pot, as it were, for the future drawings, right? That's what happened last year?
Yes. So you're even if you win the first day, your name is put back into the pot to be, I mean, you could win multiple times. So that's the fun. Yeah.
And it sounds like you have a good memory, Mark, because we have had that happen in prior years where somebody has won on the same ticket. We've also had the same person win on just multiple tickets they bought.
Oh, but
yes, we've had that instance happen, which is always kind of exciting. Yeah.
Very cool. We just have a few seconds left. What are some of the new members that have just joined the chamber?
Yeah, you know, our newest of new members include Northern Distinction, Rugged Roots, Fraction LLC, and Sign Gypsies Twin Ports. So we are always excited to welcome new businesses to our chamber membership. So I want to extend a very warm welcome to all of them.
Okay. And some of these businesses are from outside the area.
Yes.
You just mentioned
exactly.
That last one.
Yep. Yeah. It can be a matter of, you know, I would say the majority of our businesses most people would expect are within maybe a 20-30 mile radius of Hayward.
Yeah.
But yeah, we absolutely have some businesses that are further out that they're interested in the Hayward market and marketing to the Hayward area, and certainly see us as a viable avenue to do that. So we're glad to welcome them.
Good. Well, Chris, Robin, thank you for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Mark, so much.
You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the radio station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information tomorrow morning. It's 8:29.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH. Hayward's real news and great conversation. And home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is inviting residents to celebrate Forest Products Week. According to a press release, the state's forestry industry generates an estimated $27 billion in goods each year and supports over 56,000 jobs, leading to a total economic impact value of over $41 billion. Forest Products Week is meant to recognize the workers who help sustain the crucial industry in the state. More information on the economic impact of Wisconsin's forestry industry is available on the DNR's website. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has announced a preliminary injunction to continue blocking the U.S. Department of Agriculture from turning SNAP data over to the federal government. The injunction originates from a multi-state lawsuit filed in July, arguing the Trump administration's demand for personal and sensitive information on Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program recipients violates federal law and the Constitution. The USDA had threatened to withhold funding through SNAP, known as Food Share in Wisconsin, without that data. Volunteers working on the Ice Age Trail in northwest Wisconsin say they've completed a footbridge allowing hikers to avoid walking along State Highway 48. The new bridge crosses over the Strait River in Polk County, cutting out about a mile of the trail that required hikers to walk along the shoulder of Highway 48. Nearly 90 area volunteers contributed to the construction of the new bridge and say the project only took about 5 days to complete. That area of the trail now features a new 30-foot bridge with about 4,100 feet of brand new tread. The Rice Lake Public Library is inviting area families to a couple of Halloween activities this weekend. The library will host a story time and pumpkin decorating event on Friday at Midwest Harvest Hills beginning at 4 p.m. On Saturday, library staff will also hand out candy to kids at the downtown trick-or-treating event from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. These trick-or-treating events are meant to give area kids a safer place to fully enjoy the holiday. More information on this week's events and other upcoming programs can be found on the Rice Lake Public Library website. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The live part of Saturday Night Live can be a liability at times, as proven this past weekend. Sabrina Carpenter appeared on the show as the host and musical guest. The host side of Carpenter did fine, but the musical side dropped two F-bombs during her song Nobody's Son from her new album Man's Best Friend. Both F-words played live during the broadcast and on the Peacock simulcast, but after some editing, the West Coast saw the PG-13 version. Carpenter performed wearing a karate gi, but unfortunately they were not able to edit out her wardrobe. Here's one of Pete's picks. Roofman is worth a look. This well-reviewed action comedy is a true story about a man who breaks into McDonald's stores through the roof. Even after getting caught, he manages to escape prison and live in a Toys R Us for several months while making a plan to escape the country. The film stars Channing Tatum, Peter Dinklage, and Kirsten Dunst, and was a really fun watch with a really nice but not too preachy message. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Coats and umbrellas needed today. Blustery and much colder, with scattered showers developing in the afternoon. Highs only in the mid-40s. Those scattered showers continue this evening. Still breezy. Low temperatures in the mid-30s. Currently, it's 39.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Don't often agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. They asked her about Congress being shut down and how it related to the Epstein files.
Why drag this out? That is going to have 218 signatures. I say go ahead and do it and get it over with.
Trigby? She's not necessarily my cup of tea, but she reads tea leaves. I think her moving to where she's at says that when that vote happens, there are going to be a major dam break, and it's a problem.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
Why is it that President Trump cares more about bailing out Argentinian farmers than he does about Wisconsin soybean farmers? We'll explain the connection.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Tomorrow on the program, a nice typical Wednesday morning with Ellie Bardot, the editor of the Up North News Daily Newsletter, will join us just after the 7 o'clock news. We will be visited by Earl Ingram to talk about the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast on Civic Media. Melissa Baldoff will have our climate check. We'll talk to Jimmy Kuska, Civic Media sports director, and more. That's all coming up tomorrow here between 6 and 9 on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, Civic Media political editor, joins us now as well. Mr. Schaefer, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Kreitlow. Always wonderful to join you here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Powered by Up North News. On the
powered by Up
North
News.
You got to give the whole team. The whole marketing thing. I mean,
the whole thing. You're right.
The whole schmear. They get mad if you don't give the whole title all the time. So, Dan, thank you for joining me on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's like talking about yourself in third person. You know,
that's right.
Yeah. It's awkward, and yet it's what the people want. So, did you partake in some observing of No Kings rallies over the weekend?
I did. I did go to the Milwaukee No Kings rally, took some photos. You can see those photos now at the Recombobulation Area. Wasn't able to be there for the entire event, but I got there, saw a couple of the speakers, and then made my way through the crowd and kind of tagged along with the march and took some photos and just kind of took it all in. You know, it was a great experience. Very peaceful in Milwaukee. Lots of people very fired up. I saw that we had at the Milwaukee one, there was a, you know, presence from some voices that you may hear on the Civic Media Network. Earl Ingram was the MC. Maggie Dawn spoke. Angela Lang spoke. So it was a great event.
And again, you know, not disruptive, which, by the way, is not just a credit to all the people that showed up and didn't take the bait, but frankly, it just doesn't sound like a lot of people were out there baiting the crowds. I mean, we've heard people drove by and gave, you know, one finger salutes and honked their horns, but there was, I would say, minimal disruption or counter protesting. It was just a largely peaceful day of protest, which is about as American as it gets.
Absolutely. Yeah, the only thing I saw in Milwaukee, there was one part of the parade route went past like an apartment building and somebody was trying to drive out of the parking garage and towards traffic, and it was blocked by the several blocks of protesters. And I just thought it was funny that the person leaving at that time happened to be driving a Tesla. so they blocked the Tesla from trying to get out of their apartment downtown. I thought, yeah, I did get a little kind of a kick out of that. So.
Well, yeah, because if it had been a Subaru, you know, the crowd would have parted. Here,
that's right.
Come on down. It's just fine. But they're not doing that for a Tesla by no stretch whatsoever. So, yeah, so we did have these rallies that got out there. And again, just from the standpoint of observing it, we talked to Cam Stevenson in our last half hour about how, you know, in many places crowds were double or even triple what they were for the protests in June, that at the moment there does not seem to be anything that would indicate the pendulum swinging back toward support for Donald Trump. If that many more people want to show up this time at a protest, then clearly people don't show up at these things unless they've got a beef. There's no George Soros paycheck or anything like that. These are people that have legitimate gripes or at least concerns about what's happening in the present day.
That's exactly right. It's a whole lot of people who are very concerned about the future of the country and the present of the country and what has happened over the last 9 months since Donald Trump has returned to office. And you know, I've found it so funny and, you know, predictably, I guess, to a certain extent, Republicans are just like, you know, saying, oh, well, he was elected. You don't have a king. You know, this isn't no kings. Well, look what he is doing. He is governing as if he was a king. Look at what just yesterday at the White House, they're tearing down, you know, part of the East Wing. It does not seem like he has any plans to leave. He has his Donald Trump 2028 gift shop merch next to tearing down a part of the White House. Like, it doesn't seem like he has any plans to leave. And then just look at everything that he is doing as president now, trying to trample over the Constitution, trample over court orders, pretty much sideline Congress entirely, governed by executive order. This is the exact type of thing that we should all be concerned with. The rise of encroaching authoritarianism.
Yes, yes. The monarchy wannabes, if you will, out there. And a complacent, compliant Congress that goes along with it. The only person that was, you know, posting more obsessively to social media than Donald Trump was Derek Van Orden, with reportedly at least 250 posts to Twitter over the course of the weekend. Because, again, it's not like he's got anything else to do in Congress these days. But, I mean, I would like to think we are paying our presidents and our members of Congress to do more than obsessively post to social media. I mean, I can do that, but I haven't been elected to anything.
Yeah, well, I saw that one of the guys from that group, Midas Touch, posted something saying that Derek Van Orden made 257 posts Saturday and Sunday on X, breaking Nancy Mace's record for a weekend and pushing Mike Lee into third all time. So he's really breaking records out here. Even Derek Van Orden ramped it up this weekend for his posts. Pretty wild.
Yeah, really, really not advertising himself as any kind of effective lawmaker at all. And again, he's towing the company line, like Speaker Mike Johnson. I guess Congressman Brian Stile was on Upfront on WISN TV in Milwaukee this past weekend, along with Congresswoman Gwen Moore from Milwaukee. And again, nobody likes to say, well, there's nothing new. The fact of the matter is there is nothing new in D.C. Brian Stile is still parroting the Republican points. Gwen Moore is still, telling you what's actually happening with the shutdown. If anything's new, it's the ongoing number of federal employees and others who are concerned about the lack of paychecks. I mean, was it in Milwaukee or elsewhere? They're starting to do food drives for like federal workers, TSA workers, things like that. That's where we're at.
That's where we're at. And I think you mentioned this on the show all the time. It's just Republicans could end this pretty much whenever that they want to. Right. I mean, and I think Republicans have been really losing the argument on what Democrats are, making this shutdown about, which is extending those healthcare tax credits. And I think, we saw some data come across yesterday in Wisconsin about how, the Wisconsin Democratic Party released some information about how high average premiums are going to be going up across the state without these subsidies being in place. So we're still seeing the standoff. But I think, we had even Marjorie Taylor Greene last week saying that, this is going to impact people in my district, people in Georgia. And I think many people, members of Congress, are seeing that, like, if Republicans decide not to play ball on negotiating on these tax credits, it's going to be bad for all of their constituents back home. It's going to be bad for all of them in the midterms.
Yeah. Again, there is no there's no position or talking point from the Republicans that makes Americans go, oh, yeah, I could totally see that side of it. Whereas they're hearing Democrats talking about health insurance costs spiking. They're seeing the spiking and understanding, that's not BS. And so, you see why public opinion is the way that it is. So, well, let's shift gears then back to the state level that you cover so well. And we'll talk about the governor's race here for a sec, because we did get a chance to interview Francesca Hong. We heard that interview back early this morning. We had Kelda Royce on last week. Of course, more candidates, you know, as we're able to get them on the show here and across the Civic Media Radio Network. But I wanted to, you know, come back to my question to Fran was about what lane are you in trying to stand out? And she embraced the wild card label, like the Uno game, and that and she framed it in a way as that the Uno card, the wild card in Uno, can change the direction of the game. And it's like she's trying to shift the conversation, make sure it doesn't drift too far moderate, I guess, if you'd call it that. You want to go through and so can we, without trying to pigeonhole, but the lanes that these people are in, if Fran is the, you know, the wild card lane, where does that put David Crawley and Missy Hughes and things like that? How would you kind of describe their lanes?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things going on here with it, because I think there's both some ideological lanes, as you kind of pointed to, Francesca Hong being probably the most progressive candidate in the field for governor that who has announced just yet. And so I think there will be, you know, progressive, moderate, you know, finding that center, whatever it might be. I also think there are kind of some regional lanes to examine with this too, because, you know, Francesca Hong and Kelda Royce being from Madison, David Crowley being the Milwaukee County executive, you know, so I think there are some lanes regionally that we should be, you know, taking into consideration too, because I think that's going to be a big part of the primary calculus. And I do think, you know, unlike the Senate race a couple of years ago that we had in Democratic primary in 2022, you know, I think this is going to be a race that is going to go all the way to the primary. I don't think this is going to be one that is going to, you know, have someone emerge as some sort of clear front runner and everybody step aside. That happened pretty late in the race with Mandela Barnes in 2022. You know, I certainly could see it happening on the Republican side if Tom Tiffany does land that apparently coveted Trump endorsement. But I think, you know, Francesca Hong could be the progressive candidate here. David Crowley, I think he's the only candidate that really has executive experience, so that could be a part of the lane that he carves out. You know, if Kelda Royce, as she did in 2018, gets a lot of endorsements from a lot of pro-choice reproductive rights groups, you know, that could be a part of her candidacy too. And then Sarah Rodriguez, you know, being a candidate that flipped a assembly district from red to blue, she could kind of be somebody who could be indicative of those shifts that are happening in the suburbs, especially given her healthcare background. You know, I think there are places like, you know, Wauwatosa and Whitefish Bay around Milwaukee that have zoomed to the left in recent years, and perhaps Rodriguez could be a candidate to speak to those types of voters.
Yeah, and then you've got Missy Hughes, you know, running in the lane of business savvy from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. And so, yeah, you've got some they're bunched up regionally, but it feels like everybody's got their own little area of expertise that, frankly, if you're a voter, I mean, I'm not going to lie, if I were going into that booth right now, if today were August 11th, 2026, I think a whole lot of voters would go, you know, and not come in with a firm, yep, this is my person, right or wrong. So it's why we're going to hear so much of them over the, you know, the next many months here.
And I think
themselves.
And I think this is a strong bench too. These are quality candidates, and I do think that having this debate about what the future of the Democratic Party, a future of Wisconsin, is going to be, is an important one that we need to have, because I think, you know, nationally and elsewhere, Democrats, the brand is bruised. The brand is not in great shape. And I do think we often see in Wisconsin an election here that can preview an election nationally. So can Wisconsin figure out the path forward, and maybe they can lead the way for the rest of the Democrats across the country?
Alicia notes on YouTube, they are all good choices. And again, that's why there's going to be so much said between now and August 11th. And like Dan says, probably have a large chunk of the field stay in it all the way through. On the other side of the break, I'm going to ask Dan about Tom Tiffany and Josh Shulman on the Republican side, and whether there is something to be said for not necessarily wanting Trump's endorsement if his ratings continue to fall as we get closer to next August. That's coming up right after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Conrad has restless leg syndrome where it's hard to control your leg. And you got to be careful. There's a lot of expensive stuff around this studio. So, what broke over there just now?
A couple speakers.
They just redid the studio. We'll be dealing with,
sorry.
This is a serious thing. All right, what are we going to do here?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We are the National Park Foundation. And together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, back now with Dan Schaefer at just about 8:53 on this Tuesday, October 21st. Nice to have you along here. Let's wrap up our conversation on the governor's race, and then we're going to get into some disturbing allegations about how the Department of Public Instruction has handled possible sexual misconduct cases. So that topic is coming up in just a moment. But to wrap up the gubernatorial nomination discussions, you've got two candidates in there right now. Everybody, in quotation marks, believes Tom Tiffany is the front runner, being a member of Congress, a longtime member of the state legislature. Prior to that, Josh Shulman is the Washington County executive. And I think it was last week I said, Dan, that there's no real reason for President Donald Trump to make an endorsement. If there's just the two candidates, he can let them fight it out to see who can grovel the most, who can love him the most publicly and all that. But in light of the No Kings protests, I mean, this is a fair question to ask. Is there something to be said for looking at the tea leaves and saying, you know, it's okay if Trump doesn't endorse me, either one of those two, because as we get closer to the August primary, it could be that there's a lane for one of them to say, you know, I'm going to be the one who's independent from Donald Trump. Right now, that's a death knell in a Republican primary, but might there be a lane for that by next summer?
It's an interesting question and one to consider because, Trump's popularity has never been lower than it is right now. It's about where it was, following January 6th. But I do think that, he's still so popular within the Republican Party. And I think the Republican Party, Republicans in Wisconsin also recognize that Trump was able to drive turnout in ways that most other Republican candidates have not been able to do. He won the vote in the state last year by really driving turnout among a lot of voters who don't typically turn out in every election. So I think that was part of the calculus and why, they really tied themselves to Trump in the state Supreme Court race with Brad Schimmel. And I think it's why we're going to see candidates continue to do that in Wisconsin, because Trump won here and he won here by driving turnout. And I think that is, whether or not the Trump endorsement is a good thing for the general election for Republicans, that's a conversation that we can have around this time next year. But I do think that, in a primary, it matters. And I think just to the larger calculus of how many votes are going to turn out in next November, I think, he's still been proven to drive that turnout. And I think that's going to be a factor for why Republicans are going to stick with him through the midterms.
So the easiest prediction I will make all day is that the eventual Republican nominee on August 10th will tell you how close they are to Donald Trump. On August 11th, we'll win the primary. And on August 12th, we'll say, I am the person who is going to be an independent voice for Wisconsin, and I don't need Donald Trump. That's just my bold prediction for
that's a very sound prediction, Mr. Kreitlow.
Thank you. That's what they pay me to do here, almost. So now on a much more somber, serious topic, there was a year-long investigation done by the Cap Times out of Madison. The headline is 200 teacher sexual misconduct and grooming cases were shielded from the public, and goes on to discuss, what has been the result of their reporting. And yet from the Department of Public Instruction, you have a statement where Superintendent Jill Underley is demanding a public correction of recent reporting by the Cap Times, and says that any suggestion that the DPI withholds information from the public is categorically false. And of course, Republicans who have never been necessarily friendly toward public education have, seized upon this right away. So like it or not, whatever the facts are or not, you now have politicization of these, alleged terrible cases happening in our schools. And Dan, I think this is a topic that more people are going to learn about, and it's going to stick with us for a while.
Yeah, I think this is a big story, and I think this is a big deal, and I think we should take it seriously. If this is a year-long investigation by the Cap Times that I'll just quote right from the story here, found that the State Department of Public Instruction investigated more than 200 Wisconsin teachers, aides, substitutes, and administrators from 2018 to 2023 who were accused of sexual misconduct or grooming behaviors towards students, information previously unknown to the public. You're right. Republicans did react to this quickly. They have called an assembly committee hearing. And like you said, Jill Underley has since her office has since released a statement disputing some of the reporting. However, I will note that she refused to be interviewed for this story by the Cap Times, which to me is always a little bit telling. Like, if she's trying to play cleanup, or the office there is trying to play cleanup after the fact of a story, it doesn't sit the same way as if you answered these questions to begin with. So I think, I think Dr. Underley has some, I think this is a serious story, and I think they have invited her to appear at this assembly committee hearing. And if you're not going to respond to reporters, if you're not going to respond to journalists, you're going to end up sitting for a story like this. You're going to end up sitting in front of an assembly hearing and having to answer in a very different way, in a very public way. And I think that's where she's headed here. And I think this is a disturbing story in a lot of ways. It's one that it's a tough read where, we can't really talk about that much of it here on the radio. But I would encourage folks to read this one, because it's a lot of serious topics. And this is a serious investigative story that we need to take seriously.
And from a press standpoint and a politics standpoint, and I'm not saying that this is necessarily a case of it, but there have been plenty of cases where people don't respond. In essence, they are wishing the story away. And you cannot wish away a request by a reporter to look into something serious. Just because you don't talk to them doesn't mean the story won't get done. And that's, you know, some folks discover that the hard way. So again, a serious story that we'll be following for the foreseeable future here. And you can read more of Dan's reporting following up on this at the recombobulationarea.news as Civic Media's political editor. Dan, thank you so much. Appreciate your time. Hope you have a great day.
Thanks, Pat. Be well.
All right. Thank you. Coming up next, Matt and Air on Air. I will join Jane and Greg at 9:35. And then, of course, we'll have a lot of our regular Wednesday guests coming up tomorrow morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News, part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network. We will see you tomorrow morning here, bright and early, 6 a.m. here up north.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. 3 weeks into the government shutdown, Republican senators are expected to head to the White House today. They've got a group lunch with President Trump. On November 1st, supplemental food benefits for low-income Americans will be cut off because of the shutdown. Also November 1st, open enrollment for those Obamacare begins without government help paying for premiums. The president of the Louvre will appear before France's Senate Culture Committee today, talking about the brazen jewel heist on Sunday. ABC's James Longman has the latest from Paris.
Grand moment d'émotion, un grand moment de bouleversement.
France's culture minister calling the raid an attack on French history and culture, and that the thieves spent just 3 minutes and 50 seconds inside the Apollo Gallery. The race is on to find eight of France's priceless crown jewels. The thieves did leave behind their gloves, gasoline, and a blowtorch, all now undergoing DNA analysis.
Amid reports of predators online, investigators in Florida are demanding access to Roblox. This is ABC News.